he said. "Cruel to subject it to city life, isn't it?" "I was born in a cage, you raving what's-name!" screamed the parrot. Rincewind faced it, nose to beak. "It's that, or fricassee time," he said. The parrot opened its beak to bite his nose, saw his expression, and thought better of it. "Polly want a biscuit," it managed, adding, sotto voce, what's name? "A dear little bird of my very own," said the quern. "I shall look after it. What's name? They reached the jungle. A few minutes later, the luggage trotted after them. It was noon in the kingdom of Tezuma. From inside the main pyramid came the sounds of a very large statue being dismantled. The priests sat around thoughtfully. Occasionally, one of them stood up and made a short speech. It was clear that points were being made. For example, how the economics of the kingdom depended on a buoyant obsidian knife industry. How the enslaved neighbouring kingdoms had come to rely on the smack of firm government. And incidentally, on the hack, slash and disembowelling of firm government as well. And on the terrible fate that awaited any people who didn't have gods. Godless people might get up to anything. They might turn against the fine old traditions of thrift and non-self-sacrifice that had made the kingdom what it was today. They might start wondering why, if they didn't have a god, they needed all those priests. Anything. The point was well put by Mazuma, the head priest, when he said, "Squashed figure with broken nose, jaguar claw, three feathers, stylized spiny anteater." After a while, a vote was taken. By nightfall, the kingdom's leading stonemasons were at work on a new statue. It was basically oblong, with lots of legs. The Demon King drummed his fingers on his desk. It wasn't that he was unhappy about the fate of Quetzalcoatl, who would now have to spend several centuries in one of the nether hells while he grew a new corporeal body. Serve him right, the ghastly little imp. Nor was it the broad trend of events on the pyramid. After all, the whole point of the wish business was to see to it that what the client got was exactly what he asked for and exactly what he didn't really want. It was just that he didn't feel in control of things. Which was, of course, ridiculous. If the best came to the best, he could always materialise and sort things out personally. But he liked people to believe that all the bad things happening to them were just fate and destiny. It was one of the few things that cheered him up. He turned back to the mirror. After a while, he had to adjust the temporal control. 1 minute, the breathless, humid jungles of Klatch. The next,
"I thought we were going to go back to my room," Eric complained.
"I thought that too," said Rincewind, shouting to be heard over the rumbling.
"Snap your fingers again, demon.
Not on your life. There's plenty of places worse than this."
"But it's all hot and dark."
Rincewind had to concede that. It was also shaking and noisy. When his eyes grew used to the blackness, he could make out a few spots of light here and there, whose dim radiance suggested that they were inside something like a boat. There was a definite feel of carpentry about everything, and a powerful smell of wood shavings and glue. If it was a boat, then it was having an awfully painful launching down a slipway greased with rocks. A jolt slung him heavily against a bulkhead.
"I must say," complained Eric, "if this is where the most beautiful woman in the world lives, I don't think much of her choice of boudoir. You'd think she'd put a few cushions or something around the place."
"Boudoir?" said Rincewind.
"She's bound to have one," said Eric smugly. "I've read about them. She reclines on it."
"Tell me," said Rincewind, "have you ever felt the need to have a cold bath and a brisk run around the playing fields?"
"Never."
"It could be worth a try." The rumbling stopped abruptly. There was a distant clanging noise, such as might be made by a pair of great big gates being shut. Rincewind thought he heard some voices fading into the distance, and a chuckle. It wasn't a particularly pleasant chuckle. It was more of a snigger, and it boded no good for someone. Rincewind had a pretty good idea who. He'd stopped wondering how he'd come to be here, wherever it was. Malign forces, that was probably it. At least nothing particularly dreadful was happening to him right now. Probably it was only a matter of time. He groped around a bit until his fingers encountered what turned out to be, following an inspection by the light of the nearest knothole, a rope ladder.